It is party time, Mom. Welcome to another episode of the Chad Prather Show. Monday episode. That's right, Monday. Let me get myself straightened up here. It's a holiday. I'm not wearing anything Christmassy. Nothing. I just got my flannel on. Hang on, let me button my button. Let's make it official. Let's just button it all the way up, Chris. I don't know anymore. I don't know who I am. I just know that I appreciate you guys. It's been a fantastic year. This is the last episode of the year, 2021. On to 22. Who knows what 22 is going to hold? Maybe we won't even be here by 23. I don't know. Hopefully that's not a prophecy. Take each day, one day at a time. I hope everybody's ready for a real Christmas celebration. And yes, I do believe in Christmas. I'm not an Xmas person. I'm not a black Xmas person, like we talked about on the show a couple of weeks ago. I've tried to be in the holiday spirit a couple of weeks ago. I even took myself down to one of those light farms. You know what I'm talking about? How they have those little deals? Those guys are like printing money, man. But it's got to be expensive to run those deals where they run the little trains and stuff. But they've got them in East Texas. I went to the one in College Station, Santa's whatever, Wonderland. Incredible how many lights they've got out there. But I hope you guys are celebrating and it's everything you want it to be. And as we head into the new year of 22, man, can you believe it? 2022. Man, Back to the Future lied. We were supposed to be doing so much more stuff by now. George Jetson, man, forget that dude. But here we are, man. We got robots that look like us and do the same things as us. We've got artificial intelligence. We've got gender confusion. Marxism that's being repackaged as critical race theory that's being forced down our kids' throats. We've got gender modification in children. We've got all these crazy things. We can't even define when life begins. You would think we would be further along. We don't know how to save money. We just keep printing cash, and going deeper and deeper in debt on a global scale. It's insane. We haven't figured out ways to get along, communicate with one another peacefully, demonstrate some love and a little bit of grace and compassion. The poor, they are still among us. It's some of it's disconcerting, but you got to look on the bright side. We're alive, and we have hope, and we have the ability to continue into the days ahead with a brain that works and a mouth that speaks, and we can continue to fill that brain with some critical thought and complex thinking and be able to understand problem solving and being able to just figure out to come up with solutions. And I don't believe that we can solve complex problems and still be politically correct. So you know what? Let's don't be afraid of language. I had a conversation with somebody the other day on that very, very topic. They were asking, how do we change culture? I said, well, we've got to take our language back. That's for one thing. We've got to understand why words mean what they mean. And that redefining of words is going to redefine culture, because then we can't communicate. You've heard me say many times this year, in various rants and just things where I've said that words are the path, they're the bridge that communicate thoughts from my brain to your brain and vice versa. So we got to be careful to protect that language. It is an incredible tool. It's a powerful thing. And I'm thankful that you guys have spent 2021 with me and the Puppet Master Mark and Super Mario Chris. And, even before Chris came, Candice, the queen of the Ethiopians, and Hot News Natalie, and Party Foul Steve, and Lisa Page made me do it, and Sarah Gonzalez, and so many different folks who were on this stage. And this will be the last time we're actually on this stage, this sound stage, being able to use words to tell you how we feel and the things we're thinking, and trying to help shape culture a little bit. So, adios, Studio 22. We're going to be in the soundstage down the hall when we come back into 2022. And I don't know what we're going to call it. It's going to be Studio 22, but it's going to have to be revitalized in some way, because it's going to be all different. The show is going to be very different. I think we're going to still have fun. We're still going to try to communicate some common sense wrapped in a little bit of humor, with making it an easier pill to swallow when you can kind of a little bit. And we'll come back. We'll still be mocking society. We'll be mocking culture. But I want you guys to understand, when we do what we do, when I say the things that I say, I really do say it out of love. I really do. I don't have animosity in my heart for anybody, except for people that are trying to take my freedom, and then I want to fight them. And we're going to continue that fight as we get into 2022. Who knows what it holds? We're just a couple of months away from a primary election that I decided to jump into to run for governor in the state of Texas. I just made that decision on July 2nd, 2020. And here we are, a year and a half later. And it's been a wild journey. So we'll find out in 2022 how that turns out and what comes out of it. But there's exciting things ahead, folks, and I'm looking forward to it. But let's have fun on this show here tonight. And just know, big shout out to the Fact Pack, my guys out there, guys and gals. Y'all have been faithful followers, listeners. Those of you who are commenting right now in the live chat, y'all are special. And as I always tell you when I chime in, I love y'all. But I want to help you look better. I can help you look better with Chamonix. You know, when you look in the mirror and you see those bags under your eyes, I do it all the time. Drives me crazy. If you want them gone, I'm 49 years old, Chris, 49. I think I'm okay. I'm looking okay. Start to see a little bit of the age, but you can get rid of that puffiness and the bags under your eyes in just moments this holiday season with GenuCell. GenuCell, it's a plant stem cell therapy for bags and puffiness under the eyes. Doesn't leave that residue. Always drove me crazy. You know, the other stuff dry you up and it kind of shrinks the stuff, but it kind of leaves almost like a preparation H residue. You know what I mean? And you can kind of see it. This doesn't do that. GenuCell is good stuff. They have this stuff called immediate effects. You're going to see the results in the first 12 hours, guaranteed, or they give you your money back. So from now until Christmas, GenuCell's most popular package, 60% off at lovegenucell.com/watchchat. 60% off. Treat yourself and your loved ones to the absolute best skincare in the world. That's lovegenucell.com/watchchat. Enter special promo code watchchat for even extra special. One more holiday present just for you. lovegenucell.com/watchchad. Hang tight. We'll be right back. Folks, we got to take care of our liberty. We really do. I read through these news articles Chris brings me day in and day out. And Chris is good. I'll give it to him. Chris is good at trying to find things that kind of grab my attention. And he likes to see me get a little pissed off. But I'm not pissed. I just kind of get frustrated. I like to shout at things. Like, I figure if, you know, yelling at a little bit, maybe it can fix the problem. We got to guard our liberty, though. Our liberty's being taken away from us in a big way. We know with these mandates that are being passed down and being pushed, not only by the people who make these vaccines and by, you know, corporate tyranny and medical tyranny, we've got to push back. We've got to push back. Again, I would love it if they could come up with something that we knew that we knew that we knew that it would be effective against this coronavirus. But quite simply, that's not the case in what we're seeing here. And I jumped into this governor race in Texas because I started seeing a lot of tyranny that was happening. So the mandates I had a problem with. And what do I mean by that? So back in 2020, if you guys remember, I was up in South Dakota. It was July 2nd, and I was there in the Black Hills. The following night, Donald Trump was going to be speaking. He was then president. He was going to be speaking at Mount Rushmore. It's the first time in like 16 years they'd had a fireworks display at Mount Rushmore, and Trump was coming in. So I was there a day early, and I'm having dinner. Don Trump Jr.'s there, and several other people are there. And my phone goes off, and it tells me that the governor of Texas is deeming certain businesses and certain individuals non-essential. He was shutting down more businesses in the state of Texas. And I just kind of had enough, because these were more mandates, and more liberty was being stripped, and more jobs were going to be lost, and businesses were going to be taken away, and people were losing their livelihoods. And I knew that this was a dictatorial action. This was not a mandate that was passed through law. It wasn't done legally. It wasn't something that went through the House or the Senate. It wasn't passed through legislation. It was a unilateral decision made by one man. It was a top-down decision that told everybody in the state of Texas what they had to do in order to continue to function in society, and it was detrimental to a lot of people. So I jumped on Twitter. I jumped on Twitter, and I made a tweet. I said that I was going to run for governor in 2022 in the state of Texas. Now, I went to bed that night. I had no idea the firestorm that was going to open up or the way the course of my world was going to change over the next year and a half. But I've continued this fight for freedom because I believe that if your liberty is ever taken, they don't just give it back. It's sort of like taxes. If they ever raise your taxes, Let's say you're going to build a new football stadium in your community and they raise your property taxes to pay for it. Well, once the stadium's built and it's paid for, they don't just lower those taxes back. They already know you're willing to pay it, so they just keep on and they raise them higher and higher. Freedom is a lot like that. When you take away your liberty, there's nothing that can be done. You know, and I've pushed back on these. You've heard me talk about it numerous times. I've pushed back that we have to make employer-mandated vaccines illegal in the state of Texas. Now, in the state of Texas, that has to go through the legislature. You can't just sign an executive order. That's the way this whole thing works in America. It's got to go through the House. It's got to go through the Senate. It's got to be passed into law. Somebody's got to write a bill that makes sure that that doesn't happen. But jobs are being lost. Deadlines are coming and going, and people are not getting certain vaccinations that they're being required to get by their employers. Certain people are not getting the religious exemptions that they're filing. And so it's become very problematic. Now, if you work, let's say I'm the boss, you work for me, and I require you to wear a uniform. Now, that's a term of your employment. You have to wear the uniform. I can make you wear that uniform or fire you, but I can only make you wear that uniform while you're at work. I can't make you go home and go to bed in that uniform. That would violate the terms of your employment. Now, what we're suggesting here in this medical and corporate tyranny is that you actually inject a substance into your body through a syringe, through a needle, into your body, and you've got to live with that. The reactions could be anything. You don't know. People do have adverse reactions. Now, they may be a rare occurrence. They may be prevalent, but people do have adverse reactions when you subject them to something by placing it in their body. It could be mild. It could be severe. We've seen cases of these things happening, and nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about it. Folks, we've got to make that illegal. All right. If I were to come to you and you're my employer or you're my employee and I say, hey, you got to do something for me if you want to keep this job. That sounds like a sexual innuendo, doesn't it? We would sue people to high heaven. So here's the thing. If employers are going to continue to mandate vaccines, then those employers, they may have the right to do that. All right. That, because I don't see us getting around a lot of that stuff, because again, we haven't an at-will place, a law here in the state of Texas. They can fire you for anything here in the state of Texas because you wore the wrong color shoes to work. They don't need a reason. But here's the thing: if they require you to get a vaccine, then at bare minimum, and I don't think they should, but at bare minimum, if they do, they should be held responsible if you have an adverse reaction. So that means whatever legalities that come from that adverse reaction, that's too late at that point because you're having the reaction, but that you should be able to sue the mess out of that company for having made you do that. See, when you want to start opening it up like that, and it's the same thing with, like, say, for instance, these green energy companies. Green energy, they want to put the windmills and the solar panels out there. But what happens when the windmills fail? Well, right now we've got a government in the state of Texas that continues to subsidize and bail those companies out. No, make them stand on their own 2 feet. See, people make better decisions when they understand there's consequences to the decision. So we've got to make sure that whether it is a company that employs you or a pharmaceutical company that's putting a medicine out for you or an energy company that's trying to provide a solution for you. Listen, I believe in free market, private enterprise solutions that are innovative. But at the end of the day, when they fail, they have to be held accountable. We got to stop doing this. And the problem with it is we've gotten to a point where we keep making these ideologies into policies. And that gets very dangerous, right? So if I want to run the entire world on windmills and electric cars, you know, Chris, those electric cars are expensive. And if they want everything in an electric car, I mean, I just can't see the inner cities buying a $95,000 Tesla or whatever the electric car may be. I just can't see that being a good solution for downtown Houston or downtown Dallas, because it's just you're asking people in urban communities or lower income communities or various places, you're asking them to do something they simply financially can't do. And we're living in a day and age where it's becoming impossible for people of lower economic status just to survive, because let's face it, the inflation is through the roof, supply chains are shut down, gas prices, fuel prices are through the roof. And yet you want to do even more. You want to drive them to some kind of green form of energy that's not going to be reliable and something they certainly can't afford. So we've got to protect people. At the end of the day, look, we can be conservative, we can be liberal, we can be leftist, we can be right-wing, we can be all these different things. But at the end of the day, we still inhabit this same planet. Now, we may differ culturally, we may differ politically, we may have different ideologies, we may have different ideas about certain things and different ways to solve a problem. But folks, at the end of the day, we live here. And regardless of whether or not that green energy company, that power company, or that medical company, or that pharmaceutical company, or your employer, whether or not they make a bad decision and live with the consequences, the bottom line is you and I will live with the consequences no matter what. We have to live with that. So we got to create the best world we possibly can. Folks, we need to make sure that we're secure. Secure in our freedom. Secure in our liberty. You see, it's not free will to choose if they take away your right to refuse something. If you can't refuse it, then you don't have free will anymore. That's the essence of freedom. So what's happening in our culture right now, happening in our state, happening in our nation, is they're taking away your right to refuse. Imagine if you applied that to other aspects of life. It would get very sticky and a very slippery slope in a fast. I mean, imagine, you remember no means no, Chris? Remember no means no? What if I just walked up to a girl and I just kissed her right on the mouth? And she said no. And I said, oh, no, you don't have the right to refuse. I'm mandating. Quite literally, pun intended, I'm mandating that you kiss me. It gets slippery. Oh, but that's a violation. Oh, is it, though? Is it what's it a violation of? Well, you're in her space. You're touching her body. Oh, really? Let's talk about that now. Well, I mean, I don't know what these mandates are doing. They're forcing you in my space. They're forcing pharmaceuticals into my body. I would say that's a violation. No means freaking no. So, you know, you had guys who have lost their jobs in recent years over the whole no means no thing because of sexual harassment. And you guys will fight for that till the death, till your last dying breath, you'll do that. But hey, if no means no, that means people have a right to refuse. And if they don't, you got to live with the consequences. You know, we see that in other places. We see our southern border. Our southern border's in trouble. You know, there's a target on the back of Texas. Target on the back of Texas in that Washington, D.C. wants Texas to fall because they understand that Texas is the last true bastion of freedom. We are the rock that the rest of America anchors their freedom and their sense of liberty to. They look to Texas, quite honestly, as a sense of independence, as a place of freedom, destiny, dignity, a place where we walk a little bit taller, stick our chest out a little bit further. We hold our heads a little bit higher. Everything's bigger in Texas. And we have what I call a humble arrogance because we're, by God, Texas. And God's blessed Texas. And we say God bless Texas. You know what the Texas flag looks like. I can't tell you what South Dakota's flag or Delaware's flag looks like, but you know Texas flag. In fact, girls make bikinis out of designs that look like a Texas flag, and they get in the river and float every summer. God bless Texas. But these are the kind of things. They want Texas to fall because Washington, D.C., the federal government, doesn't want you to have freedom. They don't want you to have that kind of liberty because they know that we have the size, economy, power, people, population, the drive, will, sense of dignity, destiny, and history to put Washington, D.C. back on track. They don't want to be put back on that track, so they want us to fall. Now, I've told you before that the Baron de Montesquieu, he said, and again, the Founding Fathers quoted him all the time, he said that if a republic gets too big, it ceases to be a republic, it becomes an empire. So that's why we have states. They want to take away the state's rights. They want this to become an empire, quite honestly. That's why Rome started as a republic, but as it took over the entire known world, it became an empire because they couldn't govern it properly. So they want to take away states' rights. Washington, D.C. wants to be they want to be your dictator. They want to be your monarch. They want to dictate everything that you do, mandate everything that you do, control your coming and your going, your spending. They don't want to have multiple banks. They want to have one bank, and that's the federal bank. That's what they want to do. They want to control everything. They want every time you make, $600, they want you to report that to the IRS. They're going to know. Anytime you make an expenditure of more than $10,000, you got to report that. These are the kind of things, these are overreaching things that are happening. And here in Texas, we're saying, no, we're not going to tolerate that. But that's why they're talking about things like our southern border and our open border and the people, the illegals who are coming across by the hundreds of thousands and even millions. They don't talk about New Mexico's border or Arizona's border or California's border. They talk about Texas' border because they need Texas to fall because they know that we're going to stand back, again, going to stand up against all of these encroachments and these overreaching mandates and laws. But folks, to what degree are we going to reestablish our own sovereignty as a state of Texas and say, you know what, we're not going to take it, we're not going to take that anymore. We're not going to put up with that anymore. We're not going to pander to it anymore. So that's why I threw my hat in the ring, because I'm tired of watching Texas fall and fail and fumble the ball so crazily, constantly, because of big government. And folks, if you think that the people in Austin, Texas are representing you and your priorities, you're dead wrong. They don't care about your priorities. You put them there, you gave them power, you gave them delegated authority, and they become little dictators and God players. They're little tyrants there. We've got to change that. Heads have got to roll, folks. Folks have got to be gotten rid of. Government's got to be made smaller. It's become one big overarching blob that rolls down the street and touches everything that it can, and it consumes it and leaves us in its wake as it grows bigger and bigger and moves on to consume even more. It's happening in Washington, D.C. It's happening in Austin, Texas. It's probably happening in your state capital as well. Folks, at what point in time are we going to wake up and say it's time to put real people in office who truly understand the value of a dollar, the value of human life, the value of your concerns, the people who have been touched with your infirmities, so to speak, who sympathy and empathy with what you're going through and know what it's like to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and blaze a trail, and when you fall down, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and understands that sense of work ethic that every time you put your shoulder to the plow, you will keep it there until the job is done. Folks, that's what we got to get back to. That is quite honestly what we've got to get back to. And the only way we're going to do that is we've got to put real people, citizens, back into those places of office and delegated authority. So that's my big spiel right there. I love this state. I love the great state of Texas, but we got to fight for our liberty. It's being taken away from us. Don't even get me started on judicial tyranny or educational tyranny or the other things that are happening out there from across the board. You know, across the board, we're being controlled. Our pocketbooks are being controlled through wildly out of control property taxes. We've got to stop putting immoral people on these boards and on these places of authority that they just don't understand the sense of a dollar. They don't understand the sense of what you're going through. So you've heard me say it before. Our founding fathers in 1773 went out into Boston Harbor because they knew they weren't being represented by King George. They felt his monarchy had turned into tyranny, and over taxation without representation, they spilled that tea, which was being taxed, off the side of that boat into those dark waters. It's time for us to go to Travis County in Texas and have an Austin Tea Party and tell Texas that it's time to get liberty back in the right place. Folks, I encourage you, go to Prather2022.com. Check it out. Donate if you can. Come to a rally. We got a lot of things going on. Just know that I love you and I love this state, and we're doing this for all the right reasons. So God bless Texas. Hey, let me ask you something. Are your thoughts running in endless circles in your mind? Look, with the stress of this last year, it's more important than ever to practice living healthier and happier lives. So what if a few minutes was all it took to change your relationship with stress and anxiety, and it transformed your life for the better? That's the power of meditation with Headspace. Now, our thoughts can be confusing enough. Meditation doesn't have to be. Headspace is a convenient dose of meditation, mindfulness, and sleep exercises to relieve stress and anxiety and help you get a good night's sleep all in one app. It makes it easy to catch your breath and take time for your mental health. And it's one of the most science-backed meditation apps in the world, proving meditation works. A study proved that in just 2 weeks, Headspace can reduce your stress by 14%. So find some Headspace at headspace.com/Chad. Get 1 month free of their entire meditation library. It's the best Headspace offer available. So go to headspace.com/Chad. That's headspace.com/Chad, and we'll be right back. Oh, me, oh, my. You know, sometimes it seems like the state of Oregon wakes up every morning, looks over at California and thinks, you know what, I could do a better job of ruining the country than that. The student government at the University of Oregon recently petitioned for the school to begin requiring that critical race theory be required training for graduation, and it sounds like they've got traction with it, actually. There are already courses by different names that teach a lot of this woke garbage on that particular campus, but these bright and flowering young students don't think it's enough for it to be on tap. They want to codify it into something more official. Now, if your reaction to that is the same as mine, your first response is likely something on the order of, well, they're not trying to cover it up anymore, because, of course, they're not. Bad ideology only plays slowly for the first few moves. If you doubt it, I'd like to invite you to read about such stellar moments in history as the Russian Revolution. All it really takes is getting past the gatekeepers in society. And when the gatekeepers are asleep on the job, as many of them are in this country, it doesn't take much effort to move into the next stage of the plan. And that next stage is full-blown acceptance for and mandating of said ideology. Now, meanwhile, those of us who disagree are left behind to weep tears into our beers about how the American social fabric is in tatters. And it is. The lamentable fact is that despite our best efforts, enough bad thinking has slipped through the cracks so as to become endemic to the American collective consciousness, or at least a broad swath of it. And perhaps I'm preaching largely to the converted here, but after all, how many of you really believed the mainstream media when they were falling all over themselves to tell you that critical race theory basically wasn't even real, let alone a doctrine that was being pumped into every head the left could get a spigot into? It's just like, you know, Antifa was an idea. Hey, did you buy their crocodile tears about how the white supremacist conservatives were desperately trying to whitewash history and education, consequences to the oppressed in this country be damned? No, of course you didn't. You've got to have a really special type of brain to buy into that kind of crap, but unfortunately there are a lot of those types of brains out there, especially among the younger members of our society. Now, these young people lacking a fully formed frontal lobe have been given such a vast amount of agency in modern times that they've started to buy into the BS, the towering intellectual structure that used to be the university system, existed precisely because young people could not be expected to adequately educate themselves, and because someone had to be there to dole out the common sense when they inevitably came up with or were given terrible ideas. So what happened? Where did all the thinking adults go? The grown-ups are still there, but they've taken leave of their sacred duties in favor of what? Getting along better with the dumbass herd of kids they're supposed to be corralling? Playing along with the system to avoid losing their tenure and having to get a job out in the real world? What is it, professors? What's keeping you from speaking up and actually educating these ignorant income poops about the dangers of things like critical race theory? Could it possibly be that you've abandoned reason altogether in favor of comfort and likes on Twitter? Nothing good is going to come out of this, folks. Not a single thing. It's a whole sack full of awful, and is apt to spill out as this generation grows into the adults who will shape the country's future. Now, we've been fighting it for a long time, but we can't give up the fight now. Our kids, both the little ones we're pulling out of public schools, yeah, and the grown ones we should be discouraging from attending this type of college, they need us to stand up for them. So don't give up. And don't get discouraged. We can win the war against this garbage. It's just going to take time and effort. Folks, I'm proud to say that my oldest daughter just graduated from her university last week. And she's finished. She's done. She's going into the real world. And God bless her. I'm thankful for her. And I'm thankful that she came out without any weird, crazy, bad ideologies. I'm really thankful for that, Chris and Mark. I'm proud of her. And got another daughter that's going to graduate from her university in the spring. So I'm proud of her. She's the same way. Didn't come out with any weird, crazy ideologies. And I warned them. I said, before you go in there, I want you to remember that you got a lot of professors in there that have never left the academic bubble. They're going to throw some wild-eyed theories at you. And that's what they are. They're theories. They're going to present them as facts. They're going to present them as truth. But they're not always. So you have to learn how to weed it out. You know, my father told me, he said, you might have to dig through a lot of bullshit before you find a pearl. And that's why you got to trust this, or distrust, I should say, the educational system around us, especially on the higher level. Because these guys have done nothing but for 30 years just push papers around and test their theories on young minds rather than in the real world. So I'm thankful that my kids came out okay. Still trying to figure out why my oldest daughter keeps referring to me as dude. I got to get used to that, Mark. I don't know. You know, she means well, but she likes to call me dude. She's like, that's cool, dude. Okay. it's like we've gone back
how
to the 80s.
How old is she, if you don't mind me asking?
Say that again.
How old is she?
She's 24.
Yeah, that's our generation. Like,
yeah.
I call my dad dude, too.
Yeah. Yeah. When she first started doing it, it was weird in a text, right?
Oh, and, in a text, you have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to do it in a text. That's a must. Like, dude, what are you doing? Dude.
I hear you. I hear you. But I'm so proud of him. I really am. And I'm thankful for him. And I pray fruitful blessings upon their life, that they will have a long and fruitful life, even in the midst of the chaos. Folks, don't lose heart. The pendulum swings. It may be going real far off the weird deep end right now. But it's not going to stay out there. It's going to swing right back. And people are going to realize that normalizing things, whatever normal may be, normalizing things really is going to come back in vogue, and people are going to stop testing the waters of this insecurity and identity crisis that we're calling modern American culture. It's really a global culture in a lot of ways. When I say global, it's really European and American in a big way, and I throw Australia and New Zealand into the European aspect of that. Large parts of the world, we don't see a lot of the weirdness coming out of Russia and China and Africa. It's us. It's the people who have been so spoiled rotten that we just ran out of shit to be offended by. And so we just started coming up with things. We just started making up oppressions so that we can maintain some level of victimhood and continue to identify ourselves by some form of pain. But again, critical race theory, it will bury itself. It'll get buried. And then guess what? Marxism, because again, the educational system is built on that. Your property tax system, everything. All these things are built in Marxism. Karl Marx didn't believe in owning private property. That's why we have property taxes. All these weird ideas, they just repackage them and they relabel them and they bring them back up in another generation. So it's always going to be there. It's been there for years. Going to keep being there. But that's what's happening at Oregon. Oh, Oregon. I don't think the brain is getting enough oxygen over their permanent mask mandate that's going on. So they can't breathe. They can't breathe, I tell you. Can't breathe.
And Chad, because you are running, you know, for governor of Texas, are we going to see like states like Oregon, California, Washington State become more tyrannical like this, and then the people are going to leave and then come here or Florida?
Well, we see that. We see that. We see the individuals now that are coming, and I welcome them because a lot of times they're coming running away from the lack of conservative values, and they're coming here because we have some conservative values, or at least perceived. It's the woke ideologies that are being brought in by the big companies that bother me. The people who have no choice but to be brought here because their work demands it. That's what scares me. Silicon Valley. And we've definitely thrown the doors open here in the state of Texas to Facebook, Tesla, and Google, Amazon, now Samsung. All these different companies we're bringing in here, giving them huge breaks and subsidies to come in here and do all these things. So, gosh, I hope that we can manage to keep Texas on a conservative value and keep government small and let people be people and embrace that liberty. Quit cramming weird ideologies down our throats. Hey, we got time for a TikTok? Do you have one? Don't know if you have one. If not, I can talk. Let's play it if you got it.
Every single human on this fucking planet has hair. But because mine grows in a different spot than what other people think matches the genitals I was born with, suddenly it's a problem. Suddenly, Or that somehow I don't take care of myself because I have facial hair. How does this, any of this shit make sense? How? Please, somebody explain it to me.
Well, I mean, you got a hormonal imbalance. That's how I'm going to explain it to you. And we're going to look at you because it's funny looking. We used to put people like you in the carnival and circus, and we charge people a dime to come look at you. So there's that. No, it's really not pretty. You know, that's the thing about humans and the way they see things aesthetically. It's beauty is about balance, okay? Beauty is about balance. Men are visually stimulated more so than women are. Women, they can be attracted visually, but they're more emotionally, they're more empathetic. They feel their way into the love emotions and the beauty emotions and the attraction emotions. Whereas men see someone and they're immediately attracted. They know, like I want to spend time with that person just based on what they look like. And beauty is all built on balance, right? That's why if somebody's eye is lower than the other, when you look at them, you're like, they kind of look funny. So if you are trying to be a female or whatever, that's and like hair is growing in weird places, the male psyche, the brain, our ability to see things and process what we think is attractive and beauty, we're going to look at you and we're going to say, yep, you're somewhat of an oddity. I'm sure you're a sweet human being. I mean, especially when you start out sentences with, are you f***ing kidding me? You're a beautiful human being. And we'll be right back. Yeah. Yeah, well, I threw him a little loop. I got him to ask for a TikTok, and it was a segment early. So that means we're going to get to do another TikTok, and I get to wear you out with more wisdom. I've been holding on to this article for a week, and it just bugs me. I keep kind of putting it to the bottom of the pile, but I do want to mention it. And this happened a week or so ago. San Francisco police officers were denied service at a restaurant because their weapons go against the eatery safe space ideology. Safe space ideology. It's interesting. The Hilda and Jesse restaurant. Interesting. It offers breakfast without boundaries because that's where I need my eggs. Police officers were seated, but shortly after, the staff felt uncomfortable with the presence of their multiple weapons. So they politely asked them to leave. The owners of Hilda and Jesse reportedly issued responses that our restaurant is a safe space, particularly for queer and BIPOC individuals. Somebody got on to me the other day for using the word queer. It's like, no, that's their word. They're the ones who have chosen that word. So it's a brunch spot, and they said they respect the San Francisco Police Department and are grateful for the work they do. I mean, look, okay. The issue that I have there is who's uncomfortable about that? So when I spent time in West Africa, specifically Nigeria, traveling all across the southern part of that country, Nigeria is about the size of Texas and Oklahoma put together. Yeah, it's huge. Time in what would be considered the southern part, so that's about the size of Texas. You go north of that, like into the Oklahoma, that's militant Muslim. They're going to cut your head off. So in the southern half of Nigeria, we would go in, quote, restaurants, which was a mud building with a curtain hung up for a front door and a dirt floor. And you'd go in there and there was Nigerian police in there with their M16s. And let me tell you, they weren't your friends. You didn't want to piss those people off. Nigeria is a good place to disappear, quite honestly, and never be heard from again. So that made me a little uncomfortable. I can't tell you how many roadblocks, road stops, and they have them all over Nigeria. You'd be driving along, and they want to check your papers, and they're just sitting there kind of bouncing holding the M16 by the barrel, and they're just bouncing it off the thing, just hitting the butt up against the asphalt while they're talking to you. And they talk to you in a real high voice like this because they're mocking you because you're white. And that's one of their ways of kind of racially profiling you in their way. They even talk to you in a real high-pitched voice. And call you Oibo, which means peeled one. yeah, and so anyway, those of you who spend any time in Nigeria know exactly what I'm talking about. So many of you have. But in San Francisco, if the police come in, I'm like feeling okay. Right. Like I know that the police force, by and large, are here to liberate, not oppress. They're here to protect and serve. And if they're going to Hilda and Jesse's restaurant for a little brunch, I got to think they're not in there to mix things up Dirty Harry style. And I'm sure Hilda and Jesse, they issued an apology on Sunday night on the whole thing. We made a mistake and apologized for the unfortunate incident on Friday when we asked members of the San Francisco Police Department to leave our restaurant. We're grateful. And hey, okay, I respect that. But again, who is uncomfortable by police officers being there?
And Chad, if, you know, San Francisco right now is basically a war zone.
It's a mess, dude.
You can't do business there because people are just going to loot it and steal. But if this business is going to get robbed or looted, who are they calling?
Yeah, well.
Because,
I mean, I'm more concerned with the dude outside of the patio where I'm trying to eat my eggs Benedict who's defecating on the sidewalk.
Yes!
And then police officer in there with a, you know, with
those videos
weapon.
Of the zombie walking of all the drug addicts. Yeah. Just basically just zombie walking and shooting up in the middle of the streets. Like,
yeah. And I've been all over San Francisco. It's a beautiful city, technically. Was. There's some sketchy places. But, I mean, they got fecal maps. They tell you where not to go.
They have a nap.
But yeah, there's an app. We're not to find poop.
Yes.
I've stepped over it. I've seen the syringes. I mean, I've seen it. I've walked the streets of San Francisco. It's disgusting. I've seen some weird shit, no pun intended, in San Francisco. I'll tell you a story about that, actually, when we're done taping. It was a mess. I think it's TikTok. Hey, the last of the year, I'm giving you a Christmas bonus. Come on, Chris, with one more TikTok. Uh-oh.
Okay, it's our family's first time at Busey's. We're all so excited. No. Oh, look, they have birds that greet you at the door.
No.
All right, there it is, Busey's.
No.
A gopher? People in Texas really like their gophers.
No.
It's a cute Christmas shirt, though. And long drive, first stop is the bathroom. And look at all that food. That's quite amazing. Oh, nuts. Gophers must have nuts.
What?
There's a giant gopher.
No.
He's pretty cute, though. Oh, gopher shoes. Oh, there's birds inside showing us around also. Ooh. Beaver nuggets. Why do they have those in?
Oh, maybe they should have been called gopher nuggets.
Oh, but I'm here for the beaver nuggets.
Busey's? Gary Busey's? It's Bucky's, lady. I stopped in there this morning, fueled up my truck, and got a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, and actually a croissant. It was fantastic. That's not a gopher. That's why they call them beaver nuggets. It's Bucky the Beaver, lady. These are the kind of things that I'm telling you. Don't California my Texas. Don't Oregon my Texas. Don't Washington my Texas. Don't come down here calling Busey's. It's Bucky's, and it is the closest thing to heaven on earth. Bucky's. I stop in there just to poop. You know what? Maybe San Francisco needs some Bucky's. You know, a place for law enforcement to go get a good biscuit in the morning, have a cup of coffee, get some beaver nuggets, and the homeless people can even go poop into the stalls. Have a good clean pooping at Bucky's. Boy, those are clean bathrooms. Yeah. I love it. I'm going to go to Busey's. There need to be more Busey's, quite honestly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they built one in, like, Mississippi, too. Yeah. Yeah. God bless. Tennessee might even have one. I love Bucky's. Hey, the owner of Bucky's, I know you're a billionaire, and you keep giving to Greg Abbott's campaign. Pray through 2022.com. I'll take some of those gopher nuggets. Drop some balls my way. Hey, hang tight. We'll be right back. We've had an incredible year. I've got to say, Chris, Mark, thank you guys for the hard work that you guys have done. There's a lot that goes on into producing this show. I call you the perfectionist, Mark, but I'm glad you're the way you are because you get it right, man, and it saves so much time and makes us efficient in what we do. And I know from a person like myself who's extremely busy with so many other projects, it helps me. And Chris, you get me. You get me. You get me. I do have to give credit where it's due to so many different folks. It's Mark's wife, Candace, the Queen of the Ethiopians. I miss her. God bless her. And she's doing so well. And so many folks, Party Foul Steve, Hot News Natalie, Lisa Page Made Me Do It, Sarah Gonzalez, and various others that have been a part of this show. Josh Jennings. I love all of them. I really do. And I appreciate what you've given us. One of our Blaze writers even gave me the Fear the Reaper chip. I got to just open this and smell. There's one chip in this package. Yeah. And she wanted me to eat it, and I don't think I can. Oh, my God. Chris. Oh, you can't get near it, bro. Wow.
Come on.
Okay. Wow. What holy hell of Gehenna. All right. Merry Christmas, everybody. Have a great new year. We're going to see you in 2022. We love you. God bless you. Thank you. See you in a year. Bye.